Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a Bible reading podcast from Israel. I'm Harriet, your reader today. Today we have Monday, the 14th of June, or the 4th of Tammuz on the Hebrew calendar. And the parasha this week is called Chukat. The portion from the Torah is Numbers chapter 19, verse 18, through chapter 20 and verse 6. Before we start reading the scriptures, please join me in blessing the Lord and thanking Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Then a clean person will take some hyssop, dip it into the water, and sprinkle it on the tent, all of the furnishings, and the people who were there, as well as the one touching the bone, the one killed, the corpse, or the grave. The clean person will sprinkle the unclean one on the third and seventh days. He is to purify himself on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and at evening he will be clean. However, that man who is unclean but does not purify himself will be cut off from the community. He has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Since the cleansing water was not sprinkled on him, he is unclean. This will be a permanent ordinance for them. The one sprinkling the cleansing water is also to wash his clothes, and anyone touching the cleansing water will be unclean until evening. Anything touched by an unclean person becomes unclean, and anyone touching it will be unclean until evening. In the first month, the entire community of Bnei Israel arrived at the wilderness of Zin. The people stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, so they assembled against Moshe and Aaron. The people quarreled with Moshe, saying, "If only we had died when our brothers died before the Lord. Now why have you brought the community of the Lord into this wilderness for us and our livestock to die here? Why have you brought us from Mitzrayim to bring us to this evil place, a place without grain, fig, grapevine, or pomegranate, and there is no water to drink?" So Moshe and Aaron went from before the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. That was Numbers 19, 18 through 26. And our portion from the prophets is today Jeremiah or Yirmiyahu, chapters 44 and 45. The word that came to Yirmiyahu concerning all the Judeans dwelling in the land of Mitzrayim, at Migdol, at Tachpantres, at Noph, and in the region of Pathros, saying, "Thus says the Lord Tzvaot, the God of Israel, you have seen all the calamity that I brought on Jerusalem and on all the cities of Yehuda. Behold, today they are a ruin, and no one lives in them, because of their wickedness which they committed to provoke me, by continuing to burn sacrifices for and serve other gods, whom they had not known, nor you, nor your fathers. Yet I sent you all my servants, the prophets, sending them early and often, saying, 'Oh, do not do this loathsome thing that I hate.' But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to stop making offering to other gods." Therefore my fury and mine anger was poured out and blazed in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem. So they are a waste and a ruin as it is today. So now, thus says the Lord, Elohim Tzvaot, the God of Israel. Why are you committing this great evil against your own souls? You cut off from yourselves man and woman, infant and nursing child, from the midst of Yehuda, to leave yourself without a remnant. You are provoking me with the works of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Mitzrayim, where you have come to dwell, so that you will be cut off and become a curse and a disgrace among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the evils of your fathers, the evils of the kings of Yehuda, the evils of their wives, and your own evils, and the evils of your wives, which were committed in the land of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem? They have not become contrite even to this day, nor have they feared, nor walked in my Torah, my statutes, that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord Tzvaot, the God of Israel, I will soon set my face against you for calamity, to cut off all Yehuda. I will take the remnant of Yehuda, who set their faces to enter the land of Mitzrayim, to sojourn there, and they will all be consumed, falling in the land of Mitzrayim by the sword and by famine. They will die, from the least to the greatest, by the sword and by famine, and they will be an execration and a horror, a curse and a disgrace. So I will punish those dwelling in the land of Mitzrayim, as I have punished Yerushalayim, by the sword, by famine, and by plague. So none of the remnant of Yehuda entering the land of Mitzrayim to sojourn there will escape or remain to return to the land of Yehuda, when they are longing with their soul to return to live there, for none will return except as refugees. Then all the men who knew that their wives were burning incense to other gods, along with all the women that stood by, a large assembly, with all the people dwelling in Patros in the land of Egypt, responded to Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that you spoke to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you. Instead, we will definitely do every word as went out of our mouth, burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, just as we did, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, were well off, and saw no calamity. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. Moreover, when we were burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, when we made cakes for her in her image and poured out drink offerings to her, were we without our husbands? Then Jeremiah said to all the people, to the men and the women, to all the people that were giving him such an answer, saying, The incense burning that you offered in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, your officials, and the people of the land, the Lord did remember them. They did come into his heart. Then the Lord could no longer endure it because of the evil of your deeds, because of the abominations that you committed. So your land has become a wasteland, a desolation and a curse, without inhabitant as it is this day. Because you have burnt incense, because you have sinned against the Lord and have not listened to the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his Torah, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, that is why this calamity has befallen you as it is this day. Moreover, Yirmiyahu said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Yehuda that are in the land of Mitzrayim. Thus says the Lord Tzva'ot, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled it with your hands, saying, we will definitely perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings to her. You surely will confirm your vows and surely will perform your vows. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Yehuda dwelling in the land of Mitzrayim. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, declares the Lord. Nevermore will my name be invoked in the mouth of anyone in Yehuda in all the land of Mitzrayim, saying, as my Lord, Lord lives. Here I am, watching over them for evil and not for good. All the people of Yehuda who are in the land of Mitzrayim will be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end of them. Those escaping the sword will return out of the land of Mitzrayim into the land of Yehuda, only few in number. Then the remnant of Yehuda who entered the land of Mitzrayim to sojourn there will know whose word stands up, mine or theirs. It is the declaration of the Lord. Moreover, this will be a sign to you. I will visit punishment on you in this place, so that you may know that my words will surely stand against you as calamity. Thus says the Lord, soon I will give Paro Hofra, king of Mitzrayim, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them who seek his life. Just as I gave King Zedekiah of Yehuda into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, his enemy who was seeking his life. The word that Yirmiyahu the prophet spoke to Baruch, son of Neriah, when he wrote these words in a scroll from the mouth of Yirmiyahu, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Yeshayahu, king of Yehuda, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning you, Baruch. You say, oy to me, for the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with my groaning, and I find no rest. Thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I will tear down, and what I have planted I will uproot, the whole land. But you, are you expecting great things for yourself? Seek no more. For I am about to bring calamity on all flesh. It is a declaration of the Lord. But I will grant you your soul as spoil in all places where you may go. That was Yirmiyahu, or Jeremiah, chapters 44 and 45. Our portion from the writings is today Ezra, chapter 5. Now Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the prophet, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Judeans who were in Yehuda and Jerusalem, in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, son of Jozadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. At that time, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, Shetar, Bozenai, and their associates came to them and asked them, "Who gave you the authority to build this house and to complete this structure?" They also asked them, "What are the names of the men who are constructing this building?" But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Judeans, and they were not stopped until a report could go to Dariavish and a written reply about it to be returned. This is a copy of the letter that Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, Shetar Bozanai and his colleagues, officials of Trans-Euphrates, sent to King King Dariavish. The report they sent to him was written as follows. To King Dariavish, All Shalom. Be it known to the king that we went to the province of Yehuda, to the house of the great God, which is being built with large stones and timber is being set in the walls. Now this work is being done diligently and is succeeding in their hands. Then we questioned those elders, asking them, Who gave you the authority to build this house and to complete this structure? We also asked them their names in order to inform you, so that we might write the names of the men who were in charge of them. They responded to us, saying, We are servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the house that was built many years ago. A great king of Israel built and finished it. But because our fathers angered the God of heaven, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, the Chaldean. He destroyed this house and carried the people away to Babel. However, in the first year of Koresh, king of Babel, King Koresh issued a decree to rebuild this house of God. Even the gold and silver utensils of the house of God that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and had carried away to the temple in Babel. King Koresh took those things from the temple in Babel and gave them to a man named Sheshbazzar, whom he had appointed governor. Then he said to him, Take these vessels and go and deposit them in the temple in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be built in its place. So this Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the house of God in Jerusalem. From that time until now, it has been under construction, yet it is not yet finished. Now, if it pleases the king, let a search be made in the royal archives there in Babel, to see if in fact King Koresh issued a decree to rebuild this house of God in Jerusalem. Then let the king send us his decision about this matter. That was Ezra chapter 5. Now our portion from the apostolic writings is 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Therefore, since we have these promises, loved ones, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Make room for us in your hearts. We wronged no one, ruined no one, took advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts, to die together and to live together with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I have been filled with encouragement. I overflow with joy in all our troubles. For even when we came into Macedonia, our body had no rest. But we were hard pressed on every side. Conflicts outside, fears within. But God, who encourages the downcast, encouraged us with the arrival of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the encouragement with which he was encouraged by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, and your deep concern for me, so that I rejoiced still more. For even if I grieved you with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that my letter grieved you, but just for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were grieved, but that you were grieved to the point of repentance. For you were grieved according to God's will, so that you might in no way suffer loss from us. For the grief that God wills brings a repentance that leads to salvation, leaving no regret. But the world's grief brings death. For see what this very thing, this grieving that God wills, has brought you. What diligence, what defense, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what rendering of justice. In everything you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So although I wrote to you, I wrote not for the sake of the wrongdoer, or for the sake of the one who was wronged, but to make known to you your diligence for us in the sight of God. For this reason we have been encouraged. Besides our own encouragement, we rejoiced even more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. For if I have boasted some to him about you, I was not put to shame. But as we spoke all things truthfully to you, so also our boasting to Titus has proved to be the truth. His feelings toward you overflow when he remembers everyone's obedience, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice that in everything I have confidence in you. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And if you're reading through the apostolic scriptures twice this cycle, you would also read Luke chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 26 today. This is Harriet with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. I pray you have a blessed day. May the Word of God take root and grow in your heart as you listen each day. Many blessings and shalom from Jerusalem. Until next time.